RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesia and Palestine sign Memorandum of Understanding on Exchange of Zero Tariff. Canada, in cooperation with the Indonesian Ministry of Finance, are to help Indonesian companies in handling infrastructure projects. And now the news in detail. Indonesia and Palestine have signed a Memorandum of Understanding to exchange zero tariff for particular goods to improve their bilateral trade. Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita announced Wednesday, December 20. He told in a press conference that on the sidelines of the WTO ministerial conference in Argentina recently, we signed the Memorandum of Understanding with Palestine as instructed by our president to implement the OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, summit decision. Indonesia has agreed to apply zero tariff for Palestine dates and olive oil, while Indonesia has yet to submit its list of product of interest. He said the ministry has asked them good they need and they said they need all product, adding that the finance ministry would immediately issue a regulation on zero tariff for the Palestinian product starting next month. Canada, in cooperation with the Indonesian finance ministry, are to help Indonesian companies that will work infrastructure project in order to do the project well, as has been implemented in Canada and other cities in the world. The companies are asked to build infrastructure efficiently and timely with the existing budget. This was conveyed by the Canadian ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Peter MacArthur, in the 150th anniversary of Canada in Gandaria City, South Jakarta.
So the government of Canada, through its official development assistance, is helping the Indonesian Ministry of Finance develop a framework which makes possible more public-private partnerships in infrastructure to mobilize private sector money, both Indonesian and foreign, as we do in Canada and other jurisdictions around the world, to build more efficiently infrastructure on time, within budget, quality infrastructure. And this is something we're working with our friends in the Indonesian government.
Canadian Ambassador Peter MacArthur also added that at present the infrastructure project is developing. He also mentioned Singapore as one of the fastest growing countries in the world's infrastructure. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is aiming to electrify all villages in Papua by 2018. President Jokowi said on Wednesday, 20 of December, during the inauguration of the two natural gas power plants in Nabire District, that next year Papua villages must become bright. President Joko Widodo also said that 3,000 villages are yet to be electrified in Indonesia, and some 2,000 of which are in Papua. The president admitted that building electricity infrastructure in Papua is not an easy task, citing its rough terrain. He was also told that the development cost is high, but he is determined to achieve it in a bid to ensure wealth equality. Elsewhere, it will cost 1 billion rupiah. It is indeed more expensive. The president said that he will do anything for Papua people, such as adopting one fuel price policy, cutting cement prices, road construction, healthcare, and education. After the inauguration event, the president reiterated that the energy ministry is confident of electrifying Papua villages both through PLN power grids and solar panels. On December, January, and February, the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, predicted the potential of rainfall is dominated by higher intensity rain. Head of Public Relations of BMKG, Hari Tirto Jatmiko, explained, especially in western coast of Sumatra and southern Sumatra, most areas of Java, some places in Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and Papua, is estimated high until very high rainfall. In a special interview with RRI World Service, on Wednesday, 20th of December, he explained in February the rain intensity in Java, Sulawesi, and Papua is still high to very high. In March, Indonesia will experience a period of transition to dry season where rainfall trends will decline. BMKG predict in 2018 there will be no drought as in 2015 that impacted forest fires.
Oh, tahun ini tahun normal, misalkan. Mm-hmm. Tahun ini normal, maka
this year normal is the normal year. It does not mean in the dry season there is no rain. The rain is below the average in the dry season. For the year 2018, the condition is still a normal level.
Kami sampaikan bahwa masih dalam tataran normal musim seperti itu.
Hari Tirto further reminded the public need to increase alertness, especially in December, January, and February, related to the peak month of the rainy season, related to the prediction of geological disasters such as earthquakes in 2018. BMKG cannot predict it, but according to Hari Tirto, people need to worry because BMKG always conducting monitoring related to the earthquake and tsunami. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the 2019 election will assign a duty to register Indonesian citizen abroad. Head of the Indonesian Citizenship Database, Case Analysis and Legal Assistant of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Hanan Hadi, to Radio Republik Indonesia on Wednesday, 20 of December, said that based on Article 201, Paragraph 3 of Law Number 7, Year 2017, on general election, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is obligated to submit data of Indonesian citizens living abroad 16 months prior to the voting day or December 17, 2017. Hanan Hadi explained, due to the invalid data, the participation of overseas voters is low.
Sudah mencapai target sebenarnya karena target
it is already reached the actual target. Since the target of the voters is determined by the KPU, 75% of permanent voters, DPT uses its voting right. But overseas was even less than 20%. This is the result of the evaluation of the 2019 general election, which we conducted together with the KPU, with representatives and some parties involved in the 2014 election. This will be our reference how to create better condition for better election. Hanan Hadi added that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in cooperation with the Ministry of Home Affairs, made efforts to fix the data of Indonesian citizens abroad. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has also established cooperation with five ministers and institutions, namely the Ministry of Home Affairs, the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights, the Ministry of Manpower, and the National Agency for Placement and Protection of Indonesian Workers, so that the data is expected to be more valid. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Tour de Indonesia, TDI, theme The Ultimate Race is Back, is a is a quadrennial international cycling and tourism event to be held early next year. Since last being organized in 2011, the TDI has been revived again by the Indonesian Cycling Federation, PBISSI, following the Union Cycliste International's UCI's decision to upgrade its level from 2.2 to 2.1. The upcoming TDI will be organized on January 25th to 28th, 2018, and its official launch was held in Jakarta on December 11, 2017. In addition to promoting Indonesia's tourism, the Borobudur Bali Tour de Indonesia 2018 will help to promote the implementation of the ASEAN Games and Paragames 2018. Raja Sabta Oktohari, the Indonesian Cycling Federation chairman, stated recently in Jakarta that the federation has lent support. The federation hopes the two major sport events would have synergy with other sporting events. And the last item, National Flag Carrier Garuda Indonesia began direct flights on Wednesday, 20 of December from Medan, South Sumatra to Makassar, South Sulawesi, to strengthen connectivity between western and eastern provinces. Nina Sulistiyowati, Director of Marketing and Information Technology at Garuda, said the airline is seeking to tap into potential new markets. She said that the new route of Medan-Makassar is one Garuda Indonesia effort to help stimulate the tourism sector, adding that the airline will help the government achieve its target of attracting 20 million foreign tourists to the archipelago country by the end of 2019. The airline will use the 96-seater Bombardier CRJ-1000 aircraft to serve the new route, which will operate two daily flights. With the addition of the new Medan-Makassar route, Garuda now serves 12 outgoing destinations from Medan and 24 outgoing destinations from Makassar. The airline plans to unveil three more routes in the eastern part of the country by the end of the year. These routes will be served using CRJ Bombardier 1000 Next Gen and ATR 72-600 aircraft. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's commentary title is Improving Fishery for Sustainable Industry. The fishery sector is a strategic sector in the Indonesian economy due to its great marine potential with very diverse marine biota. The government of Indonesia, through the Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, is responsible for determining the management of fishery resources for the benefit of the whole Indonesian people by paying attention to the sustainability of the resources. One of the policies issued by the government is the regulation of Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, number 2, 2015, on the prohibition of the use of full trawled or cantrang in the area of fishery management. Cantrang is one type of fishing equipment that belongs to a group of full trawl with a boat or vessel sensed. The ban is based on the consideration of sustainability of Indonesian marine ecosystem. However, the implementation of the regulation is delayed due to the existence of pros and cons by the people. The familiarization of this policy until now still continues to be done, so that the communities of the fishermen will understand the importance of this policy to be applied. Since 2016, the government has distributed donations in the form of fishing equipment to replace the boat trawl for the fishing boats. The distribution of thousands of vessels is a good momentum to boost fishery production amidst a growing stock of fisheries. On one hand, the support of cantrang as a fishing equipment, which is environmentally friendly, continues to flow from fishermen in some areas, especially from those who had been disadvantaged by the use of trawl. On the other hand, there are some fishermen who are worried that the replacement of their fishing equipment cannot give optimal results. Thus, the government keeps improving fishery sector in a bid to prosper the fishermen. The government have tried to carry out their best to revive the fishery sector. With state partiality to national business actors, the development of infrastructure and the ease of licensing is an effort to realize Presidential Instruction No. 7-2017 on acceleration of national fishery industry development. The presidential instruction issued is meant to improve the welfare of the community, including fishermen, cultivators, processors, and marketers of fishery products, including increasing employment and foreign exchange. The year 2018 is expected to be the year of revival of the domestic fishery sector. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti is committed to allocating 70% of her minister budget for goods expenditure on marine and fisheries stakeholders and community programs. It is time for the fishing boats to be empowered in their own country. Through the ease of marketing and access to capital, it is expected that Indonesian fish capture with environmentally friendly way can produce high-quality fish supply. So the effort to improve the fishery sector towards a new state of sustainable industry and prosperous fishermen can bring about satisfying results. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History of RRI World Service Force of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on December 21st, 1964, when PLO was established. The Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, was established on December 21, 1964. When it was established, the PLO consisted of 8 militant groups and a number of educational, social, medical, cultural, and financial institutions. A year later, the PLO military division named the Fatah Group started their activities. In 1974, the PLO was accepted as an observer member of the United Nations until 1982. The organization successfully established an official relationship with more than 100 countries. But then, in line with the increasingly strong anti-Zionist regime's action against PLO activists, this organization changed its tactics of struggle with diplomacy. This was apparent with the willingness of PLO leader Yasser Arafat to sign the Oslo Agreement in September 1993 with the official recognition of the existence of State of Israel, with compensation for the granting of autonomous status to the Palestine by the Zionists. However, the Zionists apparently ignored the contents of the agreement, and up to now, they continue to kill and terrorize against Palestinians. The next event was on December 21, 1968, when Apollo 8 was launched on the second Apollo manned flight into the orbit of the moon. Apollo 8 is the second manned space mission on the U.S. Apollo program. The mission was launched on December 21, 1968 and became the first manned space mission to leave Earth orbit, reaching the orbit of the Moon and then returning to Earth. Astronauts Frank Borman, James Lovell, William Anders became the first humans to pass through low Earth orbits and to see the far side of the Moon. Apollo 8 took 3 days to reach the orbit of the Moon. It rounded the Moon 10 times for 20 hours and then returned to Earth on December 27, 1968 by landing in the Pacific Ocean. And the last event was on December 21, 1988 when the Pan American World Airways plane exploded in the air and crashed in Lockerbie, Scotland. Pan Flight 103 is a daily flight of Pan American World Airways from Heathrow International Airport, London, to John F. Kennedy International Airport, New York, on December 21, 1988, a registered Boeing 747-100 and 739PA airplane named Clipper Mate of the Seas exploded in the air as it flew over Lockerbie, Dumfries, and Galloway, Scotland. opened 340 and 450 grain plastic explosive was detonated at the front cargo spot, triggering further events leading to rapid destruction of the aircraft. Winds with the speed around 100 knots or around 190 kilometers per hour spread passengers and other goods along 130 kilometers. 271 people from 21 countries died, including 7 people on the ground. The bombing of Lockerbie that shocked the world population was a direct command of Libyan leader Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. For today's Focus title is to make Indonesia the power center of digital economy in Asia. The government continues to increase the number of entrepreneurs to enhance economic growth that leads to the welfare of the community. This was expressed by President Joko Widodo while attending Entrepreneurs Wanted, EW, initiative by the Office of Presidential Staff at the Sasana Budaya Ganesha building in Bandung, West Japan last Monday. The event, attended by thousands of young entrepreneurs, is aimed to keep stimulating public interest in entrepreneurship. President Joko Widodo said the number of entrepreneurs in Indonesia is still small. In fact, business opportunity in the country is still very wide open. Based on data from the Minister of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises, the number of entrepreneurs in 2017 only reaches 3.31% of the total population of Indonesia, while the World Bank standard is 4%. Compared with other ASEAN countries, the number of Indonesian entrepreneurs is also smaller compared with Singapore 7%, Malaysia 5%, and Thailand 4.5%, and not much different from Vietnam 3.3%. Therefore, the government tries to encourage the growth of entrepreneurs, especially in digital industry. With this effort, Indonesia is expected to become the digital energy of Asia, with industry value reaching $130 billion by 2020. Moreover, Indonesia has all the potential needed to become a center of digital economic power in Asia. In the Entrepreneurs Wanted event, President Joko Widodo advised college graduates to change the paradigm from being an employee to being able to open jobs. He believes that the growth of young entrepreneurs will increase because young people today are more creative and they have access and resources to become great entrepreneurs. Meanwhile, Minister of Research and Technology, Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, expressed his optimism about the growth of young entrepreneurs in Indonesia. He said that his ministry also attempts to create young entrepreneurs, including funds for technology-based beginner company, PPBT. This year, the number of PPBT reaches 661 companies, and next year the target is 800 companies. In 2019, it is targeted to increase to 1,000 companies. In addition, his ministry also encourages universities to open a contemporary study program that can answer the challenges of the times. Minister Muhammad Nasir also said the graduates of his study program are expected to become young entrepreneurs and be able to create new jobs. One of them is an animation program. Meanwhile, Rector of Institut of Bandung Technology ITB, Kadarsa Suryadi, revealed the campus also encourages the growth of professionals, researchers, and entrepreneurs. He views that the expertise of these three elements is able to answer the challenge of digital economic lift. At least ITB has graduated 77 young entrepreneurs engaged in digital, food, energy, health, and creative economy. Well, listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesia and Palestine have signed a memorandum of understanding to exchange zero tariffs for particular goods to improve their bilateral trade, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita announced Wednesday, December 20. Canada, in cooperation with the Indonesian Finance Ministry, are to help Indonesian companies that will work infrastructure project in order to do the project well, as has been implemented in Canada and other cities in the world. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is aiming to electrify all villages in Papua by 2018. On December, January, and February, the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency (BMKG) predicted the potential of rainfall is dominated by higher intensity rain. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the 2019 election will assign a duty to register Indonesian citizens abroad. The Tour de Indonesia (TDI) theme, "The Ultimate Race Is Back," is a quadrennial international cycling and tourism event to be held early next year. And the last item, national flag carrier Garuda Indonesia began direct flights on Wednesday, 20 of December, from Medan, North Sumatra, to Makassar, South Sulawesi, to strengthen connectivity between western and eastern provinces. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Lampung Province. Stay tuned. West Lampung is one of the regencies in Lampung Province. The regency, which is dominated by mountainous area, is one of the tourism destinations in Lampung Province. Therefore, many local and foreign tourists visit this regency. The tourism objects in West Lampung is complete from the sea, lakes, mountains, natural attractions and adventure tourism objects. For the development of tourism in West Lampung, the district government of West Lampung continues to make various efforts, such as the provision of infrastructure facilities and create a new tourism object. Listener, December 5, 2017, local government of West Lampung, in cooperation with the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, inaugurated the use of Liwa Botanical Garden. Liwa Botanical Garden is the only botanical garden in Sumatra Island. Besides being a tourism object, The Botanical Garden is also function as a means of education, research, recreation, and conservation of a number of plants in Lampung. Liwa Botanical Gardens become the place to develop the existing endemic varieties in West Lampung Regency. The Botanical Garden is located in Pekon Village, Kubu Prahu, Balik Bukit Subdistrict, Liwa Regency, West Lampung. The object is located in the middle of the city, precisely at the official house complex of West Lampung Regent. The Liwa Botanical Garden will be officially opened in December. The entrance ticket will be applied in early January 2018. Listener, Liwa Botanical Garden is a conservation area with a theme of conservation and development of ornamental plants, representation of South Sumatra flora, both flowering and beautiful leafy plants. The theme of ornamental plants is expected to encourage the people's economy through diversification of plants. The Botanical Garden has 6 blocks of collection gardens with an area of 5.8 hectares, with a total collection of 2,382 specimens, covered in 294 species, 184 generation, and 60 tribes. Topographic condition of the Botanical Garden is varied so that this area has contours with different soil height, so that the Botanical Garden area is hilly and bumpy, and there are water sources in some places. Listener, entering the Liwa Botanical Garden, you will feel the coolness of the air. Liwa Botanical Garden actually has cool air because it is located in the mountainous area with an altitude of 890 to 948 meters above sea level. Interestingly, new attractions in Lampung is not separated from the modern touch. Every corner looks Instagrammable, so it is appropriate for selfie photo event, such as the plants which are arranged into K or L letters, colorful painted paving blocks, and a variety of unique ornaments. Besides taking pictures, you can see the richness and beauty of plants in this botanical garden. In addition, the Liwa Garden is also equipped with adequate facilities such as musola, public toilets, office, gazebos, coffee shop, and pots. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic the Liwa Botanical Garden in Lampung. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. Stay tuned. Toba is one of the biggest lakes in Indonesia, situated in North Sumatra. This lake has been acknowledged as the deepest and biggest volcanic lake in the world and the second biggest lake after the Victoria Lake in Africa.
Not only that, another uniqueness of Tobalik is its location in Samosir Island of about 64,000 hectares wide in the middle of the lake. Tobalik is a complete natural tourism destination, geopark, and water sport with its unique culture. This lake will continue to develop its potency. One of them is by stating the lake as the 10 priority tourism destination. Besides, infrastructure will also be built. Several tourism promotion have also been held to boost tourism visit in the area. One of them is Tobalik Enchanted Carnival. Tobalik Enchanted Carnival 2017 will be held in Baligay, Toba Samosir Regency, North Sumatra on September 9-10, 2017. The carnival is an annual agenda to strengthen Indonesian unity and bring it to the world. It is hoped that in 2019, Tobalik can attract 1 million tourists. This event also targets to give domestic regional products revenue worth 16 trillion rupiah and to employ 300,000 people. This will increase people's welfare. This carnival will be participated in by 2,000 people. 500 of them are the core participants to have a ceremony of Menjunjung Tanduk. Tanduk is a plate filled with rice that is usually held on the Batak woman head. There is also trumpet. The carnival also varies with boat parade in Toba Lake. The parade will cover 3.5 kilometers from Soposurung to Balerong. The carnival line will end in Balerong Traditional Market, a beautiful market consisting of 6 buildings decorated with Gorda Batak sculpture. Besides, tourists can also visit several tourism objects around Lake Toba. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the team Tobalik Enchanted Carnival 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present Indonesian nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian male singer Harvey Malehoro. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Hati Selembut Salju by Harvey Malehoro. Happy listening.
Sutra ditufuk mulai bercahaya, hatiku pun ingin bertanya, bila engkau tiba jangan hanya berita, datanglah dengan cinta. Beribu kali bumi arah pun tiada berganti, betapa abadi bagai cintaku ini. Setia dalam cinta, engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai kini aku menanti.
burung bangau terbang ke kandang setahun sekali menemui cintanya lagi. Memang ku harapkan dan selalu ku impikan kau datang dengan cinta. Engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai kini aku menanti, ku menanti kau kembali. Jangan lagi kecewakan hati ini. Biar ribu tahun memuti rambutku, hatiku tetap selembut salju. Betapa abadi bagai cintaku ini, setia dalam cinta. Engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai kini aku menanti, ku menanti kau kembali. Jangan lagi kecewakan. Tetap selembut salju. Engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai kini aku menanti, ku menanti kau kembali. Jangan lagi kecewakan hati ini. Biar ribu tahun hatiku tetap selembut salju. Engkau berjanji, kau berjanji sampai.
You've just listened the song Hati Selembut Salju by Harvey Malaiholo. The singer's full name, Harvey Benjamin Malaiholo, reached his golden era in 1980s. However, he began his career by releasing his first studio album in 1977 entitled Volume 1. Harvey started his career in the Indonesian music industry by winning various singing festivals. One of the festivals was the National Radio and Television Singing Contest, or Bintang Radio Televisi Nasional, in 1976. With the victory, Harvey's talent began to draw attention from record producers who gave him the chance to release the first album. The process of Harvey's first album was handled by Arianto, an Indonesian composer, songwriter, and singer. The album entitled Volume 1 was quite popular at the time with a single hit entitled Derita Hati and Marsali. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Dara by Harvey Malaiholo.
Dara, aku melihatmu hanyut dalam gerakanmu. Gemulai kau menari seiring nada syahdu, aku termangu-mangu. Nada, kau sungguh jelita, anggun dan penuh pesona. Binar bola
kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tarianmu. Namun sikap wajahku telah hilang di tepi gairah cinta yang begitu dalam. Ku cari ke sana, ku cari kau ke sini, ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli. Kau sungguh jelita, anggun dan penuh pesona. Binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh darah, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tarianmu. Namun sikap wajahku telah hilang di tepi gairah cinta yang begitu dalam. Ku cari kau kesana, kesini, ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli. Ku cari jauh ke sana, ku cari jauh ke sini, ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli.
The debut album that is quite successful in the market does not necessarily make Harvey satisfied. He then continues to work and release other albums from year to year. Not only that, Harvey also began to collaborate with musicians and other singers like Ireng Maulana and Rafika Duri. In 1988, Harvey re-released his work in an album entitled Aku Begini, Kau Begitu. This album is not a pure Harvey album, but a compilation album of many Indonesian singers. In this album, there is also another song sung by Harvey entitled Dara, the song you've just listened. The song Aku Begini, Kau Begitu was firstly popularized by Bruri Pesulima. The success of the song makes a lot of musicians in Indonesia release it in various versions such as pop bossas brought by Harvey Maleholo. Apparently, the song Aku Begini Kau Begitu of Harvey's version sounds much better than the original version. To get pop bossa's element into the song Aku Begini Kau Begitu, the Harvey's version does not sound crybaby like the original version. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Aku Begini Kau Begitu and Desember Kelabu. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Dan hatiku masih ada tergores ingatan pahit ku rasakan hari ini hati masih luka. Telah aku coba melupakan segalanya, namun titik terang tiada datang. Langit makin kelam, luka makin dalam.
dapat lupakan dirimu. Namun apa daya, aku manusia, gagal menghapus kenangan lama.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Angin dingin meniup mencekam di bulan Desember. Hujan turun deras dan kejam, hati berdebar.
bayangan impian di malam itu, malam yang kelabu kau ucapkan kata selamat tinggal sayang. Bulan madu yang kita janjikan semakin melayang, lenyap hilang di telan air hujan. Engkau tak datang. Bulan ini Desember kedua, aku menanti. 2 tahun sudah ku sabar menanti, ku dilanda sepi. Angin dingin menusuk di hati, terasa nyeri. Bulan madu tinggallah impian tanpa kenyataan. Sinar cinta seterang rembulan kini pudar sudah. Desember kelabu selalu menghantui setiap mimpiku. Bulan madu yang kita janjikan semakin melayang, telan air hujan. Engkau tak datang. Bulan ini Desember kedua, aku menanti. 2 tahun sudah ku sabar menanti, ku dilanda sepi. Angin dingin menusuk di hati, oh terasa nyeri. Bulan madu tinggallah impian tanpa kenyataan. Kini pudar sudah. Desember kelabu selalu menghantui setiap minggu.